You're listening to Presence and Purpose, a podcast all about helping you build an authentic online presence and live out your God-given purpose. I believe that the key to standing out in this noisy online business world is by being fully yourself, because God's equipped you through your personality, gifts, life experience, and even your quirks to serve your people. So get ready to hear real stories and lessons learned on all things branding, finding your people, sharing your message, and so much more. Hey guys, so today I am talking with Leticia, and she is an online business strategist and marketing coach. And we are going to be talking about using social media intentionally and being authentic in our business. I'm excited to talk to you today. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited as well.
Yeah. So go ahead and start out by sharing a little bit about you.
Yeah. So I am from Kentucky, born and raised. I have three kids and they are 5 years and younger, so very busy. And we are getting ready to start homeschooling in the fall, so that's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
A new adventure. So I kind of got into the online space by accident. I was working part-time for the local VA center here. And when I had my third child, and he was our surprise baby, so my second, was only 9 months old when I found out I was pregnant with my third one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know I can't work, you know, even really part-time. And if I was working full-time at these jobs, I would just be putting, like, all of my money into daycare. And I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that for my family. I don't want that for, you know, like, what's the point in working if I'm not even bringing home money and I never see my kids. So, you know, I was praying about it and asking God, like, what do I do? You know, we have to have more income at the moment. And so how does that work? And I remember this really clearly. And I was on my way to Walmart and I had this thought, and it was like, you should start a blog. And I'm like, why would I start a blog? I hate blogging. But in my mind, that's all I thought you could do online was blog and, or either like do like Amazon costing or something like that. And so I think that God, even though it wasn't necessarily that I was supposed to be blogging, that's the only thing I knew. So he kind of put that thought in my head. So then a few months later, I was on Facebook and one of the Facebook ads popped up and it was for a Pinterest VA. And I was like, what is this? And I started like just going into it and realized that all of this was legit. And of course I've changed directions and everything as I've went along, but, it was really just crazy how God opened all the doors for me to be online, even though I had no idea that this existed. So that's like how I got started.
That's so cool. And I totally got into business accidentally too. Like that was not the plan. It was the same kind of thing where I was like, I don't really want to be not seeing my daughter and like not, you know, taking home most of my paycheck. Right. It didn't seem worth it. And so, yeah, got into the same rabbit hole of like, you know, looking into different work from home options, and it just kind of turned into a business. That was not the plan. Anyways. Yeah. So I love that. Like that's, you know, that's kind of how you got into all of this, because it, like the thing that you said about God put the blogging thing kind of into your head, like, hey, you should do this. He totally uses little things to just like, kind of ease us into it, because I think if we, I don't know, we would kind of like panic. Like people talk about overnight success and just like we talk as if we want that, but it's like thinking about where we are in our journey, it's like we've really got a baby step, and like most of us don't even know that online business is a thing or like anything about that. And so it's just this process of kind of easing into that. And so I know you are now kind of using social media holistically, like in your approach with like the overall business strategy. Mm-hmm. But I would love to hear from you just kind of how to use social media intentionally, because I know that I think so many of us, me included, can just get stuck in like posting to post, and we're just kind of like checking off that box of like, I'm supposed to post every day, or it's a holiday today, so I'm going to post about that. Like, we kind of get stuck into that rhythm, and there's no intentionality behind it where we don't feel like it's actually moving our business forward.
Right. And that's, it is hard, because I think what happens a lot of the times is sometimes you see the bigger influencers and bigger like business owners and marketers and entrepreneurs online, and it does seem like they're just posting whatever sometimes. But mm-hmm. for one, we might not always be seeing every post that they're posting, so we don't see where it's going, like where it started and where it's going. But also, they have such a bigger audience sometimes that it is a little easier for them to let some of those like engagement type posts and like kind of the posts that I like to call like, you know, one of the memes that people like to post a lot of. But the thing is what people do, and I've seen people do this, they get online, they either follow somebody or they go to Pinterest and they like go to like Facebook engagement type, you know, posts. And then they just start posting all these like random questions, but there's no intention behind it. These questions are good to ask your audience, and it's okay to have fun with your audience, but it shouldn't be every post that you're making. I've seen businesses share like the most random videos or memes because they're like those, and my mind's going to go blank, viral. There we go. Like the viral videos.
Yeah.
And they're doing it because they're like, oh, these videos get tons of shares and these videos get tons of comments. But if there's no intention behind it, it doesn't matter. I think we're starting to finally enter where people are realizing that your follower count doesn't matter, your like count doesn't matter. So people are starting to see this, and I think a lot of people are panicking because mm-hmm. they're like, that's what they used to measure all of their success on. Mm-hmm. Now, here's one thing I like to do. If you take one or two goals for the month, you know, set your month down. What are two actions that I want my audience to take this month? One action might be joining my free Facebook group, and then I can nurture them in there. And then the other action might be joining or signing up for my free offer so I can get them on my email list. Or even if it's to sell, like your other action could be to actually sell your services. Take those and then start creating content around those. You don't sell every piece of content though, you know? And you can build up. So for like a week, you could talk about their pain points and their problems. And then at the end of the week, oh, we have a Facebook group, you know, that we talk more about this if you want to join. So mm-hmm. that you're building it up and it has all that intention. And it's not just this meaningless post. And it builds up until they're, you know, they're like, oh, I have to join this group because they've given so much value and so much information this week. And I want to learn more. So I think that's really important, is to make sure you know your goals and what action you're wanting to take, and then like reverse engineer, create the content after you realize what goal you want to meet that month. So,
Yeah. I think it definitely comes down to like reverse engineering, like you said, and I am totally guilty of like flying by the seat of my pants for so long. Like I actually, the past couple of weeks have been really good about like planning out, you know, what I'm actually going to share that week and stuff. And even like, I feel like some of it does come down to personal preference, as far as like, I hear a lot about like batch create content, batch write. And I'm like, well, I sometimes do that, but I think even just simply, like you said, reverse engineering and deciding like, this is my goal for the week. Like I'm going to be, you know, like for me, now that I have my podcast, the way that I do it is like the podcast kind of dictates what I'm going to share about the rest of the
week.
And it's going to be related, because I think if we just have like a common thread in our head of, you know, I am leading people to book a discovery call with me this week, or I am talking about this topic, then we can like, you know, create those posts, or like I do, is I just kind of at least jot down like the first sentence or kind of mm-hmm. what the post is going to be about. So that day when I sit down, I can easily like create it, and I'm not like, oh shoot, what was I going to share? I got to find a meme. Like, I don't
know. Yes.
But
yeah. And the thing is too, is like, I've done that with my own business, and I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. I have trouble marketing for myself. Mm-hmm. And it is hard sometimes. I can take someone else's business and I can just look at it and say, oh yeah, you need to do this, 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 this. But for my own, like, it's like, what do I write? What do I do? And I found, I was even asking a friend of mine, I was like, you know, help me come up with some topics for to do some live videos. Because I'm like, if I have the topic, I can go for it. But just coming up with that on my own, for myself, it's so hard sometimes. And it is, I think it's because we're so close to the situation. We're so close to our own business that it kind of freezes us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going back to what you were saying about the content, like personal preference, I have clients like that. Some of my clients, I can batch and create content for a month at a time for them. Mm-hmm. And I schedule it out and it's scheduled for that the next month. Then some of them, it's more like I have that idea of what they, you know, what track we need to go down, what, like if they're a coach, what package they're selling that week, mm-hmm. Or what their message they want to get out that week. And then I create content daily for that, just because that's how I can do it for that particular client. So it does come down to personal preference. And I've also found engagement is a big key, and engagement is more and more what is going to build your business. Used to be it was just posting all the time, but mm-hmm. now it's more of that authentic connection with people. And one thing that I found too is, and this might help some people take the overwhelm off of having to create content all the time, if you look at your week and you know that you can only put out 3 pieces of really high quality content that week, put that out as long as you're engaging the rest of the time too. I think sometimes what people do is they say, oh, I need to put content out every day. So they put all this content out and it, you know, some of it misses the mark because it's just not as good. They don't have as much time in that moment or whatever. And then they don't engage at all. So they're missing that piece, the engagement piece. So instead of focusing on the content you put out, try to break it up. Okay, I can put really good content out 3 days a week, and then 5 or 6 days a week, I'm going to focus on really engaging, and I'm going to spend that extra time engaging and connecting with my audience. And that will help, you know, build your audience and build your brand, sometimes better than just putting out, you know, not as good content every day. So mm-hmm. that's another yeah. thing to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, and I feel like it's one of those times where less is more is really yeah. applicable. It's like if we're trying to really crank out like these lengthy, value-packed social media posts every single day, it's like we're probably putting out more content than people can even take in terms exactly. of like you said, like factoring in like really genuinely engaging with people who are mm-hmm. commenting back, and then like maybe they message you or you message them and you have that conversation. Like you have to factor all that into it. It's not just the post itself.
Right.
So I love yeah. that you said the engagement piece, because that's obviously a huge part of it. Like that's the goal of the post is to
create engagement. Yeah. And I think that's the thing is what people have to get kind of out of their heads with social media. So when businesses first started coming on social media, their goal was to mm-hmm. make a sale. And it's still, people are still coming into that with that mindset. And I think that they need to shift their mindset, because your goal on social media is not to sell. That's not your number one goal. Your number one goal is to build relationships and build connections with your audience. Mm-hmm. And if you approach social media in that way, you know, all these other pieces will fall into place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. And even like with that train of thought, I heard someone say that like when we are quote unquote selling on social media, like focused on selling, your email list or your free workbook versus creating like full-on sales pitches for, you know, which that has a time and place and that, you know, works for some people. But yeah, when you're focusing on like the overall goal is to build engagement and connect with people, that's exactly how those business relationships start. Like you do business with the people that you have a established, genuine, strong relationship with. I know that's something that I always remind myself of. Like, I think, I don't know, it can almost feel like relationship building. I don't want to say it is a waste of time, but it feels like, oh, I need to do like productive stuff. But that really is productive because that's what like you never know what's going to come out of a strong business friendship relationship.
Right. And well, we live in such a society and such a world that we expect immediate results, immediate, you know, return on investment. We expect all this, you know, everything's at the, in the palm of our hands because of phones. You know, in tablets and all this. So we expect everything to be immediate. So it is very, that's how our minds are wired now. So when we build those relationships, it's not immediate, you know, every now and then it can be, but most of the time it's not. It's like long-term, long-lasting. And that should be, you know, we have to rewire our brains to realize that nothing you do on social media for the, you know, for the majority is not going to be immediate. You know, if you run a Facebook ad, you're not going, you know, that return on investment might not be immediate, depending on what you're running your ads to. And it's the same thing with building those relationships. You have to think of the long-term game. Like, what is this going to get me in the long term instead of what can I get right now? We have to think about what can I give right now so that I can get in the long term.
Yeah, exactly. It totally is a long game. And like, not that we can't get clients in the moment too, but we, like, I feel like many people don't focus on the long game as much, which is, you know, what you're saying about like, it's just the way that, that we live now. There's so many things that we just expect instant results and we can be so hard on ourselves when we don't get instant results. And it's like, you know, well,
and it's like you said earlier when you talked about the overnight success, people see those, you know, like you get online and you see these people who look like they had overnight success. And then you start trying the same things that they're doing now. And you're like, why is it not working for me? But the thing is we're not seeing like the 6 months or the year or even years that they spent before that. And it's really not an overnight success because they put in all this back work. Even though to us, it feels like, you know, like maybe we were following them a little bit or all of a sudden we'd never heard of them and all of a sudden they're this big, huge influencer. And so to us, it's like, wow, you know, they just instantly blew up, but it's not really like that. And so we come on and we expect the same thing because we're looking, you know, that whole saying, like, don't compare your chapter one to someone else's chapter 15 or whatever, you know, and that's what happens.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why I love following people who share about their chapter one or chapter zero, like, because like you said, like, even if it looks like all of a sudden they just totally blew up, because they probably did, because they've been putting in all this work and all of a sudden, you know, they got this great opportunity or open door, which is amazing. But like, that doesn't mean that there wasn't frustrating 2 a.m., you know, working on their laptop and like the stuff that we feel when we're trying to really like get momentum in our business and feeling like no one's listening to us or whatever, like they still had those moments. And I'm always drawn to the people that still share that stuff. Like, obviously they're at a different place in their business, but they still, that's still a part of their story. And it's what makes them relatable. Like, you know, it's not this, it's not this magical overnight success story.
Which
isn't real.
If you ever see someone who like says basically that they started one day and then the next day they just, you know, more than likely they're not telling you the truth.
just a few minutes ago, you were talking about like being really authentic online. Mm-hmm. And before we hit record, you were kind of talking about where you're at with like your specific niche and mm-hmm. being really like authentic to yourself and your values. And so I would love to kind of talk about that some more and unpack that, because I know that I have totally felt that. And I know that a lot of, you know, the women listening are in that place of like, you know, wanting to feel authentic and aligned with who they're working with and how they're putting themselves out there.
Right. So when you work and like with you, Natalie, and with myself, we work so close with another business. Like we have to like understand their audience, know their values, and all of this stuff. And when you work so close with this business, and I think this goes for everyone, even people who aren't Christians, but especially Christians, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. Like just this feeling inside me that it's like, I have to make sure that my values align with theirs. So as a Christian, I could never work with someone who is like a law of attraction or manifestation coach, because I don't believe in that. And I'm supposed to be doing their strategy, their social media, you know, mm-hmm. implementing these things, their Facebook ads, whatever. How can I create copy? How can I create images? And how can I create it and put it out in the world knowing that this does not align with my values? And so I've really struggled with that, because I've let it put me in a place of fear of not moving out and not wanting to fully commit, like we were talking about earlier. You know, right now I work with women online entrepreneurs, but I've been praying and, you know, wondering if I should switch to just Christian women entrepreneurs. But then there's that fear that kind of holds you back, because it's like, if I switch, will I have enough clients? Even though I know what they say, I know what everyone says about, you know, making sure, you know, the smaller your niche is, like the clearer your message is, and, you know, you'll attract people. But there's still that fear that, but what if I'm missing out on clients, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I have worked with non-Christians, and it's fine. But then, you know, and it's not, you know, some businesses that stuff is not a concern at all, depending on what kind of business they run. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is. I've actually dropped clients before it became an issue, when I realized that there was going to be some stuff coming up. And I just decided, you know, I'm going to part ways, because, you know, they're really good people, but I don't want this to start coming into the business and onto the part that I have to do, because I'm not going to feel aligned with that. And I'm not going to feel okay with doing that.
Mm-hmm. And I know you said that like values are a big thing for you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, it's different for everyone. That's why it's so hard to discern, because there's no, like, I can't tell you what the answer is. Like, you know, even though this right. is something that like I help a lot of my clients through, it's like, even when I'm working with my clients, it's like I can echo back to them what they're saying, and I can give them advice, but it's like, it's really a internal decision you have to make. But I know that that's one thing that people do a lot, is they will like connect it to values. And I don't know if that's something that maybe you've been thinking about or.
Yeah. And one thing that I've been kind of testing out is I have been, especially on my Instagram, but I have been really just being off, like really authentic, and just talking about God and prayer and, you know, like what God's doing in my business and my life. And because I'm thinking like, you know, God, if you're not calling me to work just with, you know, to like niche down specifically to work with just Christian women, I'm still going to put this stuff out there, because if anyone works with me, they're going to see that I am a Christian. So they're going to know beforehand, you know, my values and what I believe. And then, you know, once we meet and stuff, and I can see their business, and I can see. So, for example, some business coaches who aren't Christian, they don't really talk about stuff that's besides business. They don't talk about all the other, you know, what you would call woo or manifestation, law of attraction. They don't talk about that stuff. I might be okay to work with them, mm-hmm. but I think it's kind of like a case by case, you know, basis. But I'm kind of working on just making my messaging more for the Christian, or for at least people who believe God, mm-hmm. and then just go from there and make it. And I think that's kind of what we have to do sometimes, because just because you have your branding for just Christian women, you will probably still attract other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make that decision when it happens. So I'm kind of testing that out a little bit, is just being open about my values, and seeing how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that. Because I think that is a huge piece, and it's like, there is still a lot of similar values of people who aren't necessarily Christian, but they're also not super woo. I think also just like putting your faith out there, like even if that's not a shared value with a client, like they might still be a really great fit because they respect, like they're not highly offended by your beliefs. They're not like, I don't want to associate with someone who is openly sharing their faith in Jesus.
Right. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
And especially like if you work for myself, like I've worked with product-based businesses or like brick and mortar service-based businesses, and their stuff has nothing to do with religion or anything, but it has nothing that's against, you know, like against God or, mm-hmm. you know, nothing like that. So it's like easy because it's like, it's just, I guess you would say generic is the only word I can think about. Like it's generic. It has, you know, a lot of, and I think where my fear comes in too, is there's a lot of businesses or entrepreneurs, they, and this is fine because that's their brand and that's their business, but I have to be careful with, you know, of who I work with, but
mm-hmm.
they're very much vocal about maybe their political views or religious views or whatever is going on in the world. And it's kind of like, those are probably not the type of people I would want to work with, just mm-hmm. because, you know, you have to make sure that the values are like right on in order mm-hmm. to, for me to come alongside them and help them and create compelling copy, because I am not going to be able to create compelling copy and social media, you know, marketing strategies if I don't agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I think that just speaks to the fact that, like, you know, especially with Facebook, and like, I think so many of us have like business friends on Facebook and stuff. And that's something that, I mean, I think most people probably consider it. But if they don't, they should, on like what they're posting. Like if they're posting stuff like that, that's their very strong viewpoint. Like if that's strategic for your business or very like in line with your business in terms of like, if people are repelled by that, good, because you wouldn't want to work with those kinds of people,
right.
then that's totally appropriate.
Right.
Because, you know, there's things that I can think of where it's like, it's not a deciding factor necessarily in, you know, jumping on a discovery call with someone to work with them. However, if I'm friends with them and I see them really pushing something that I'm like totally against, like that's a red flag. So yeah, I'm totally with you there. I have a question that someone had brought up that I would love to ask you. If someone is feeling like they are totally obsessed with social media in terms of like, it's consuming all their time. And like this woman who asked me, she said like, how do you stay active on social media without it becoming an idol of like this, you know, checking every like and just constantly like plugged into your laptop or your phone? What advice would you give a person who's in that place?
Well, first of all, I think we need to understand that it's okay to take a social media break, and it's okay to take, you know, a week and just completely unplug.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially as Christians, we really need to have that faith that, you know, even if I unplug for a week so that I can just breathe and so I can kind of step back from this, you know, addiction to social media, then, you know, God's going to still take care of me and, you know, it's going to be okay. So I think, you know, as Christians, we kind of got to make sure that we look at everything through, you know, that Christ-centered lens, you know, mm-hmm. because we don't have to be on social media 24/7. And I'm guilty of it too. Especially like, you know, with three small kids, sometimes the only thing I can do is like, I'll sit on my phone and try to do some engagement and stuff. And so I'm very guilty of it myself. But one thing that I found that's helped is, you mentioned earlier content batching.
Mm-hmm.
If you can create your content, like take Saturday evening or even a day during the week, take a couple hours, create the content and schedule it.
Mm-hmm.
And then put your phone away, you know, close your computer, don't worry about it for a few days. But you can also just time block. So you can, I know people who delete their Facebook apps, who delete their Instagram apps, you know, and they only do things on the desktop or the laptop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook's kind of starting to make it a little bit easier. It's getting a little bit easier to engage on Instagram on your laptop instead of on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what you have to do, just take it off your phone and then designate 30 minutes a day to get on your laptop and no distractions. Like, don't pull up Pinterest and start scrolling Pinterest or, you know, whatever. And just get on there and, you know, do what you need to do during that time period to engage and to build your audience and to do those, what we talked about earlier, those engagement tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But where you can step away when that 30 minutes is done, you know, set a timer. When it goes off, you're done. Step away, close it. If you have Google Chrome, there's a Chrome extension called Facebook Newsfeed Eradicator.
Yeah.
And I have it on my desktop because if I don't, I will sit and scroll Facebook while I'm trying to do client work or trying to answer questions. But it gets rid of your newsfeed. And it's very helpful when you need to get on Facebook to actually work.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is another tip that I've never done this, but I know some people who say that you have three Facebook groups that you want to be very active in because your ideal clients are there.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that you're answering questions and showing up in those Facebook groups. Bookmark those on your laptop. And then you can just go to those Facebook groups instead of going to the actual Facebook page.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a good tip so that you're not, you know, as long as you can stick there and not like, you know, go off on other pages, but you know, that kind of, at least you can get those first three in before you get lost in Facebook world.
Yeah. I love those tips. And, it's just like being clear on the goal of like, why am I going on social media right now? And I'll even like, I've got a post-it note here. Like I often literally will write down like, okay, what am I opening up my laptop to do right now? And I will write it on a post-it note. So I'm like, this is the one thing or the two things that I'm doing. So when I, you know, if I get sucked into the Facebook vortex or whatever, it can kind of like help you focus back. I don't know what kind of phone you have, but I know I've got an iPhone and I love that it automatically tracks like the time that you use in the different apps, because even if like you can actually set it, so that it'll like lock you out after an hour or something. But even if you don't do that, it's just kind of eye-opening to see like, you know, I get the weekly time report of like, your screen time is up this week or down this week. I'm like, oh, okay. So that's kind of eye-opening. Okay, so I have one last question for you.
Okay.
Because I love talking about purpose, and that's kind of what this whole podcast is all about, is, you know, the God-given purpose that you've been called to live out through your business. What do you feel like is the impact or the purpose that you've been called to live out in terms of business?
You know, I don't know if I have an answer for that, because I feel like it's going to be different at different stages.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my initial purpose was, you know, I need to be home with my children. I need to be home with them. I need to homeschool them. That's just something that God, you know, my husband and I feel so strongly about. Homeschooling is like, it's a whole nother topic, but it's just one of those things that like, I would put that before business, because that's how strongly I feel that is my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as business, I feel like at this point in time, it's to be a helpmate to my husband, help with, mm-hmm. you know, getting out of debt and establishing good foundations for our children.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot that I want to do after that. So I feel like the, you know, like eventually, like I feel like that's going to shift. There's a lot I want to do. Like I want to support like women's ministries, and we have like a local called Alpha Alternative. So it's a pregnancy crisis center, and I want to be able to support them. And then we have a local center that helps women who have addictions, you know, it's a Christian based, and they home them, they help them get over their addictions, and then they like give them the tools and the resources they need to go back out in the community and get jobs and build a life. Mm-hmm. And so that like that's kind of like my purpose, I think, in the long end, is just to be able to support ministries like that and to help other women. You know, I always come back to the women. Like there's something in me. I want to be able to help other women that are in crisis and are struggling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah, I feel like there's, and that totally answers my question. I feel like we all have kind of this thing that we keep coming back to, because it's like the assignments might change, and we might be, you know, for you, like you started just doing social media strategy, and now you're doing more like online business strategy. So like the assignments might shift and change, but it's like there's this thing that you keep coming back to. And for mm-hmm. you, that's helping women. And for me, it's authenticity and helping people really, or women specifically too, but helping women really be their authentic selves, because we can so easily think that our real self, you know, isn't enough, or whatever that is. So I love to hear what it is for other ladies.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today and share about social media. The advice that you had to give was so valuable, and I think that there's a lot to glean from this conversation.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. It was so much fun.